what's best for me. My Father knows what I need. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jimmy. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and we're asking for your guidance through your word, Lord, and through the teaching, Lord, that it would, Father, give us instruction, Lord, for we know that we're in your hands. We know that you're in control. Lord, we want to grow in faith. We want to grow in understanding. We want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to be more like you. We ask, Lord, for your blessings on this service now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and read verses 14 and 15. And this confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Now if you could turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Verse 41. And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You may be seated. We're continuing to speak about by the will of God. And Brother Branham says, and show us the Father. He said, Jesus died, the only begotten Son of God, that he might make us adopted children, that he might work his will through us. So that he might work his will through us. We've studied on Cain already and about how that Cain come to know what the will of God was. It was vindicated to him what the will of God was, but he refused to take the will of God. But Cain did come to worship, and he built an altar, and he decorated his altar with the things that it yielded from his labor of planting and reaping. And Brother Branham says he decorated his altar. He said, why, as soon as Easter comes, across the nation, there'll be millions of dollars spent for Easter flowers that will go on the altar. Well, God don't care about that Easter flower on the altar. He wants you on the altar. You're the person for the altar, not your flower or your money. He wants you. The altar was built for you to sacrifice your own will to his will. So that's the sacrifice that God wants us to sacrifice, is our will. To lay down what our will is. And to be able to say, as Jesus, see there in the garden, Jesus was fighting with the flesh. Sure. It was a great battle. Right. And his flesh was asking, can this cup pass from me? Right. Is there a way, another way? But see, the Spirit said, nevertheless, not mine will, but thine be done. Yeah. So Jesus, while he was doing, he sacrificed his will to the Father's will. And Brother Branham says, but right now, many of our full gospel churches are coming right into it. They want to build a little better church, put a few $1,000s in a pipe organ. That doesn't bring God. That might bring people. But self-sacrifice brings God. To self-sacrifice to the will of God. Now, we mentioned last Thursday, I believe, about when Brother Branham was talking about where the angel spoke to him and told him he was to go to Africa and then India. And then over the course of time, about a year passed from when this was spoke to Brother Branham. And Brother Branham says that after a year had passed, he had kind of forgotten about it. That's the human side. He says he had kind of forgotten about it, forgotten about the angel speaking to him. And then his managers called him and said, we've got the tickets. We're all set to go to India. And so Brother Branham went with them to India. And when he got there, he said, one night I thought I was dying. The next morning I started to go over to the bathroom and take a bath. Well, I was so sick I could hardly stand up. There, that light hanging there in the bathroom said, I thought I told you go to Africa first. So even the prophet was affected because he didn't follow the will of God in this matter. You're not going to dodge around the will of God and think that you're going to come out of it unaffected, unscathed. No, if you go your own way, you're going to end up having the marks to show that you did. We spoke about how that Brother Branham speaking about Abraham and how that God told him to separate himself. And from all his kindred, he said God never did bless him anymore till he obeyed him fully. As long as his father hung along, why, the old fella caused trouble. Then he got with Lot, and Lot caused trouble. Until he separated himself and got away from all the unbelief and shook away from him, then God come down and talked to him, and something happened. And when we get all the little disbelieving spirits away from us, and just take God at his word. I don't care what so-and-so said or so-and-so said. God made the promise. I stand right there. Then God will go to answer him. But remember, he blessed him, he kept him, and so forth, and fed him, and led him from place to place. But he never fully blessed him and give him the promise until he completely separated himself from everything of the world, left his nephew go down to Sodom if he wanted to, the rest of them so forth. His father died. And then God told him, rise up and look at the land. I'll give it all to you. Look east, north, west, south. I think that's the way if a church or people ever comes to a place where they can completely separate themselves from things of the world. Then you can look at every promise in the Bible. It's all yours. Then we talked about, showed where Brother Branham spoke about Abraham being just an ordinary man. And being an ordinary man, even after God spoke to him, he kind of went to go about doing things his own way. But God wouldn't bless him. God wouldn't come down, and he says God took care of him. God didn't send him back to his country, and God didn't say, well, I don't want nothing else to do with you. But God wouldn't come and give him the promise until after he separated himself. And you notice God allowed circumstances to happen to bring Abraham into his will. So he caused the father to die. And then the Lord allowed strife to come up between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham, to where they just couldn't get along no more together. And so it was a time they had to separate them. And God allowed all these things to happen because he wanted to give Abraham the promise. Abraham, it was ordained for Abraham to have the promise. God has things ordained for you and for your life. And God will do whatever it takes to bring you into his will, so that then those things that are ordained for you can come into place. So God's going to bring you into his will. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 51. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put away thy sword into his place, for all that take up the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he should presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled, that thus it must be? And in that same hour said Jesus to the multitude, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So God's will is going to come to pass. And you can't book against the will of God. He says here in how I can overcome. He said, look what he done. He said, I can call the Father and speak to him, and he'll straightway send me 12 legions of angels. Then when one of them could destroy the world, said, if my kingdom was of this world, then my subjects would fight, but my kingdom is above. There you are. See, he could have done that, but he didn't. Though he could have done it, he didn't never listen to Satan's proposition. So remember when Satan come tempting him, he said, have not given his angels charge over thee, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But Brother Bram says he never listened to Satan's proposition. And you've heard people say, if you believe there's a divine healer, go get your divine healer. I got a man over here sick. I'd like to see him heal him. He said, see, that same devil, he's trying to proposition you. He's trying to make you listen to him instead of God. But a real true servant of God will listen and see what the Father says first. I tried to see about pronouncing this name earlier this evening. I don't know if I can remember again how to pronounce it, but it's a Norwegian name. Statskelf, something like that. But there was a family, a man and woman by this name, and they had a little baby, and the baby had died. But they were in Germany, and they believed if they could get Brother Branham to come over to Germany and lay hands on that baby, that it would come back to life. And so there was different ones prophesying over it and saying Brother Branham would come, he would lay hands on it, the baby would come back to life, and all this. And so Brother Branham was talking to the sister on the phone, the mother on the phone, And she was telling him all these things these different ones said, and he said, well, that's all good. Mm-hmm. But let's see what the Lord has to say first. And so he told him he was going to go pray about it. Well, they talked to the army over there in Germany, and they talked to a commander over there and got them to where they were willing to come and get Brother Branham, fly him over to Heidelberg, Germany, and then fly him back to the United States. And it would all be on the military's dime. And so for this baby, so this man must have had some kind of standing or something to be able to have that kind of pull. But he contacted Brother Branham saying that. Brother Branham says, well, I've got to see what the Lord has to say. And while Brother Branham was out praying, why, the mother called Sister Meadie at the house two or three times. She called, checking to see if Brother Branham had come back yet. And so Brother Branham was gone for a while. And then he said, they said, well, if you'll come, the father contacted and said, we've got the flight set, if you'll come. He said, then you can raise the baby. He said, and Brother Branham said, well, sure, God can do it. But let's see what his will is. And so Brother Branham went out and prayed all night. Nothing happened. He came back the next morning. Nothing happened. He started into the room, he says. And then he looked there and that light was hanging in the door. And the voice said, don't put your hand on that. Said, don't rebuke that. That's the hand of God. So Brother Branham calls the mother, gets her on the phone. And he tells her, he says, go bury your baby. It's the hand of the Lord. It's God's will. See, they didn't want that. Their will was for that baby to be erased. They had this baby, and up to that point, they hadn't had any deaths in their family. Now this was the first death. And they weren't, and being human, we don't want to accept death. Especially to our loved ones, but especially to a child. But Brother Branham says, go bury your baby. That would be a hard thing to call up and tell somebody. This is the will of God. And said, it's God's will. Something would have happened to that baby down along the line. You let it go right where God knows where it's at. You can go to it now. It lives. You leave it right like that. And he said that there was a Lutheran preacher in Germany that wrote a letter and said, how I can appreciate what Brother Branham waiting for that clear-cut decision from God before he said anything. Wow. And he says, you got to hold to God's decision no matter what others say, whatever it is. You got to hold to what God says.
Right. True.
Now, as a human, the sympathy of our flesh, the sympathy of being able to see what they're facing, the sympathy would want to go and lay hands on the baby and raise it up. And there's things sometimes that happen that we would like to pray it away. But if it's God's will, you need to leave it alone. I remember when there was a brother up in Ohio, a deacon in their church, and he was laid up in the hospital dying of cancer. And I got this testimony from my dad. My dad said he went and he prayed three different times, for God to spare this brother's life. And he said on the third time that the Lord spoke to him and said, leave it alone. And it was a hard thing, my dad said, for him to accept that. that God was going to take that brother. But it was God's will. And God took him home. You know, the night my mom come and got me here a little over a year and a half ago, me and her and my brother, we were praying. We knew God could touch my dad. We knew God could change it all. We didn't know necessarily the seriousness of what actually had happened, but we were talking to him. He was talking to us. And so you think, well, as long as somebody's talking, there's room for recovery. So we were praying. But the thing was, then we had to come to accept it was God's will for him to go on home. It's not an easy thing to accept that for your loved one. And some of it's because you know you're going to miss them. And you know that the effect they have on your life. But when it's God's will, then there is actually a peace that comes. When you realize that it's the will, something is the will of the Lord, there is a peace that comes to you. And you're able to deal with it. And you're able to be comforted by the Holy Spirit because you accept it as the will of God. God knows what he's doing. As we were singing the song when I come in, he's got it all in control. We got to put our life in his hands. And let him have his perfect way. Let him have control. The cruelty of sin, Brother Branham says, now if we were in perfect submission to the Holy Spirit, God would lead us by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want, to be led by the Holy Spirit. But in order to be led by it, we have to be in submission to it. We have to sacrifice our will, lay what we want down. When you're going through something, as humans, we're looking for a way out. We want to come to a place where it's resolved, where we're past it. But there are things that God is doing that behind the scenes that you and I can't see. But what we've got to hold on to is that he said, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. We've got a hold of that, knowing that no matter how bad it looks, that it's going to work out for our good. He says in the testimony, he said, the acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostles, for it was the Holy Spirit and the apostles setting forth an example through all the ages. What the Holy Spirit was then, it is now. What the Holy Spirit did to that church, it does to this church. As this church will be just as submissive to it as that church was, it'll bring the same results. Yes. So he said, the way God started his church, you know, Brother Henry Green used to say, God started his church the way he wanted it. Now he wants it the way he started it. And Brother Ram says, if we'll be submissive to him, to the Holy Spirit, the way they were submissive, then we'll see the same results in our midst. Brother Branham begins to quote the song, this is my story, this is my song, singing his praises all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. That's the thing. When we become perfectly submitted to his will, then, as I was saying, that rest, that peace comes. Right. And there's a rest. You can rest on that.
Amen.
You're not grasping for straws anymore.
That's right.
You're not trying to do it yourself anymore. That's our first reaction as human, is to see what we can do to change the situation. But whatever we're going through, you've got to realize nothing can come our way except God allows it.
That's true.
And if he allows it, then there's got to be a reason for it. There's a purpose for it. And if we'll submit to the will of God and say, look, I don't know what's going on, but I know my life's in your hands.
Amen.
I don't know why this is happening, but I know that you wouldn't do anything to hurt me.
Amen.
See, it comes into trust. Can you trust God?
Right.
God's not going to do you any harm.
Amen. Right.
In this same service, where I was quoting from testimony in Chicago, Illinois, Brother Branham was in a prayer line, had a lady come up, and he said, how do you do, lady? Do you believe all of your heart? Said, you had quite a time getting here, didn't you? A lot of traffic on the road, isn't there? And when you got behind that bus, that was terrible, wasn't it? You're awful nervous, aren't you? Look at all these things Brother Branham was seeing.
Right.
The traffic was bad. You had a hard time getting here. You got behind a bus, and that was really bad.
Right.
And he says, you got a lot of temper that causes that nervousness, and you're trying to get rid of it. You got a lot of domestic trouble, too, that's bothering you. Isn't that true? Your boy, yes, your boy's stepdaughter left with him. She's got a foul spirit. She went somewhere with him to a place where I see great trees, big pine trees. It's near a lake or a seaside or something or another. I'd say Washington or something like that along the state of Washington. Is that right? And the lady says, Tacoma. And Brother Bram says, yes, Tacoma. I thought it looked like that pungent sound. I believe that you'll be healed. He said, no, I'm sorry. My vision's blurring a little bit. My eyes been bothering me today. He said, you believe that you'll be healed? You believe the boy will return? He said, will you accept Jesus' promise that all things work together for good? And you're ready to quieten yourself down and submit yourself to his will? See, quieten yourself down and submit yourself to his will. He said, let's pray together. And he prays, Lord Jesus, be merciful to this woman. May the Spirit come upon her, and may she be made whole. Lord, give her the desire of her heart. Grant these kind blessings, our Heavenly Father, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, go believing, go rejoicing, be happy. Now look, lady, if God Almighty could reveal your life here before this audience, certainly he knows what was, he knows what will be. Is that right? Now don't worry. See, she even after he prayed, she was still worrying. He said, worry hasn't got one bit of value to it at all. It's what good would worry do? But faith does do good.
Amen.
So have faith. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
So he caught that she, even after praying, she was still worried.
Right.
And that's our, some people are more worriers than others, but it's a natural tendency of all us humans in our flesh to worry over things.
Right.
Well, I wonder what's going to happen here. How's this going to work out? Well, I don't know what to do about this. And we just get worried, and sometimes it gets us where we can't sleep at night. We're so tore up over something. We're worrying over something on the job, or we're worrying over something in our family, or we're worrying over, you know, some other thing. But he says worry doesn't have any value. It isn't going to do any good. What you got to do is just have faith and submit to his will. Lord, whatever your will is concerning this matter, that's what will happen. And I like this. He says, this in the message, God ever changes mind. You could preach a sermon just on the title. He did. Does God ever change his mind? Just so you know, he doesn't. God permitted Israel to take a law in Exodus, the 19th chapter. When grace had already given them a prophet, a pillar of fire, a cloud by day, a sacrifice lamb, a delivering power, but they cried out for law. It wasn't God's will, but it was injected because man wanted it. And he was cursed by the very law he wanted. It's best to have God's will. That's what he taught us. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We must submit ourselves to his will and his word. Don't question it, believe it. Now listen to this. Don't try to find a way around it. Just take it the way it is.
Amen.
Don't try to find reason a way around what the will of God is. Friends, listen. When God speaks from his word, that's what his will is.
Amen.
You don't have to question it then. To be honest with you, when once God speaks from his word what his will is concerning something, then there's no need to pray. It's just follow his will. It don't matter how much it hurts your flesh. It doesn't matter how much it goes against your desires. It doesn't matter how you think your heart's feeling. You've got to go according to his will, according to what his word says. And knowing then that what God has the best for you in mind.
Yes.
Everything that we have need of in this life, God has the best for us.
Right.
He takes care of us. You know, growing up, once I got to be in my later teens, I began to think, well, who's going to be my wife? And, you know, there was one young fella that was at the church I was going to, and he came out on the porch of the church there, and there was two young ladies standing there, and he says, it's either going to be you or you. I don't think they believed him. But, you know, God, there was other young girls there at that church where I was going. It wasn't none of them meant for me. I didn't know, but Mina and I had been in the same area as kids when we were in grade school. Just different schools, you know, but not very far from one another. When I found out where she lived at the time, I was like, well, man, I probably passed that house a dozen times or more. because of where we were going to church and people where other people lived and things, and going to visit them. Oh man, I probably went past there more than a dozen times. But God had her there all the time. Her family wasn't even in this message. She was born Catholic. But see, God had her. She didn't know me. And when they came to the message and come to the Lord, I don't think she was even looking for a husband. But God had his plan. And he knew exactly what both of us needed. I can say after all these years, he definitely knew what I needed. Don't question his will. He said, we submit ourselves to his will. Don't question it, believe it. Don't try to find a way around it. Just take it the way it is. So many wants to go around and get some other way. When you do, you find yourself going on, you find God, and but you're working in his permissive will and not his perfect divine will. He permits it. But he will not let it be his perfect will. But he's going to sooner or later bring you around to his perfect will. If you belong to him. It's a bad sign if he lets you go. It's a good sign when the Lord keeps speaking. It's a good sign to you when the Lord keeps warning, when the Lord keeps drawing, when the Lord keeps giving you direction, keeps reminding you, this is my will. That's not my will. That's a good thing. You ought to be thankful. It means God's concern. Brother Branham, you know, when his wife died, his first wife, Sister Hope. And then, you know, Brother Branham goes on in telling how that his wife had died. He went down to see his little baby girl. And there she was laying and she was dying. And he said she looked up at him underneath that netting and she was trying to coo to him. But she couldn't hardly get it out. And Brother Branham prayed and he said, Lord, you've took my wife. Please don't take my baby. Brother Branham said, Lord, please don't take her. Surely, he said, there's forgiveness in your heart. He said, but it was like a black sheet came down. Now, all this was happening to Brother Branham because he had listen to someone else instead of listening to the will of God. The will of God was for him to go down there and preach to those Pentecostal people. But he listened to his mother-in-law. She said, you ain't taking my daughter around that bunch of trash. And so Brother Branham listened to her. And so he didn't do the will of God. And so Brother Branham, his wife, when she was dying, she said, you know why this is happening. She said, this is happening. You should have went down there and preached to those people. That was God's will. You should have went down there. And Brother Branham prayed when his little girl was dying. He said, I'll never listen to anyone else again against your will. Just spare my baby. But see, there was something happening here that was moving Brother Branham to a place because God had great things he had to do. There were things that were ordained for this prophet to do. And in order for him to do them, he had to be brought to a place to where no matter what, He wouldn't go against the will of God. He had to be brought to a place to where he would listen to God and God alone. And so the Lord went ahead and took his baby. Brother Bram says he took her down there and placed her in her mother's arms and buried them together. And he said when he heard them clods of dirt, he said going down in that grave, hitting on the top of that casket, he said it was more than he could take. He said he had to get up from there. He just couldn't stand there and hear that. But you know, when his baby was laying there dying, Brother Branham talks about, he said, she went cross-eyed from the pain. And he said, that's the reason I can't stand to see a cross-eyed child hardly. I've seen 400 some odd cross-eyed children healed in 3 months' times in my meeting. I've never seen one cross the platform without being healed. And then I think about my little baby. Sometimes God has to crush a rose to get the perfume out of it, you know. And that's what he was saying. It felt like God crushed him. But look what good came out of it. Brother Branham had such a compassion and a faith that not one cross-eyed child come into his presence without being healed. Because he would remember his daughter laying there dying, her eyes going cross. He said, I see little Sharon, her little eyes crossing, her little lips quivering. And I said, you know, Daddy, honey? Her little lips quivering, her mouth coming open. I knowed she was going. I laid my hand on top of her like this, said, God bless you, darling. You're an angel. You're going to be with Mama. Someday Daddy will go see you by God's grace. He said, I raised my hand. I said, Lord, I've done wrong. But as Job of old, though you slay me, yet I love you. I can't help it. I love you in my heart. You're just about to kill me, Lord. But I love you anyhow. Take her, Lord, not mine will, but thine be done. He said, it felt like every bone in my body come out of joint. And the Lord took her home. He said, he went on to pray and he said, Lord, just take me too. Let me die. Take me too. He said, when I was a kid, everybody laughed at me, called me a sissy. I went hungry. I went without everything else. And here it comes out to a place you give me a little home and I tried to live right. Then you gave me a little home. Don't take it away from me, God. Let me go with them. Don't let me stay here any longer. I don't want to stay. That was his will. But if God would have took him then, where would we be today? So much was yet to be accomplished. So much of the word was yet to be fulfilled. That seventh angel messenger had to sound forth his message that all the mysteries of God would be revealed. The seven seals had to be opened. And we know Brother Branham in every service he preached on the seals, he said, only the Lamb can take and loose that seal. Right. And we know that. We believe that. But brother and sister, God had chosen this little Kentuckian to be the vessel on earth that by which he would do that. God couldn't let him go. There was so much of God's will yet to be brought to pass. Where would we be? What would we be believing if God would have took him then? Some may not be even serving God today. Others would be stuck in some denominational system somewhere. Still believing false teaching, false water baptism, and believing in three gods. And but he submitted to God's will. The message, the power of the devil. He was speaking about Moses as a baby, and he said, talking about his mother, said, what did she do? She didn't try to save her baby to escape the death penalty that was passed on upon all the children. But by faith, she made an ark and slimed it within and without, and put pitch in it for an atonement to carry him through the waters of death. What a beautiful picture of Christ. Never shunning, not my will, but thine be done. Not shunning death, but willing to take death in order to make an atonement for us to ride over the river of death. What a beautiful picture we have here. Amen. Look at that mother weaving these little bulrushes together and taking some slime and putting all that inside of it and nice and soft and pitch on the outside. You know, they were throwing the babies in the Nile. And here she takes in the very place that the other babies are, what's bringing them to death. She launches her baby out in that. Somehow, her and her husband come to know that that's what God's will was. Somehow, the scripture doesn't really cover it, but somehow God conveyed that to them, that this is what he wanted done. And they did something that would seem against nature to do. Mothers, real mothers, naturally they kind of, you know, they mother over their children. They worry over their children. They're very protective over their children. And here she was putting him out in the river where all the crocodiles were. That little basket couldn't have stood up against a crocodile. But not a crocodile touched it. Why? Because it was placed there by God's will. And how strange it was that the will of God was for Moses to be raised up right under the very nose of the one that had commanded all the baby boys to be killed because he was worried about a deliverer. So right under his nose, he's the one that ends up raising the deliverer. Moses was saved in a very unconventional way. And I think of all the babies that died. And it's hard for us to comprehend as humans that that also was the will of God. I think of when Herod ordered every baby from 2 years old and down to be, every baby boy to be killed. That God allowed that to happen in order to hide Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. All those babies, they made it. They served their purpose. I know that might seem harsh, but it's the truth. It says over in Leviticus, if you'll read, the word pitch also translates as atonement. Read it, find it if it isn't true. It's an atonement. Called an atonement in the days of Noah. When Noah, 120 years of preaching, yet saved no souls but his own household, was warned of God, know that judgment was coming. He knowed he could not escape it, but God provided an atonement for him. I love that. God made a way. Let that soak real deep. No matter what the trouble is, God will make a way. He's called in the Bible Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Amen. I'm so glad tonight to know that he's still Jehovah Jireh. No matter what the circumstances is, God will make a way of escape. Sometimes we need to step back and realize that we're a small part in a big picture. Sometimes we get to thinking about things in our life and how bad this is, how bad that is. Brother Phil's traveled with me over to the Philippines. And I'm going to tell you what, friends, there's some people over there that's got it a whole lot worse than you. There's some churches over there that meet in places that makes this place look like a palace. Yeah. I thank God for this place that he's given us. That's why I thought we should take care of it and do things that was necessary to keep it. Because God give it to this church. It belongs to you because God wants you to have it. God's blessed us. He's Jehovah Jireh. He supplies all of our needs. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand.